This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Alliance Creative Group, stock symbol ACGX, annual earnings conference call for 2017, which is being held today on March 29th, 2018. This call will be recorded so we can post it on our website and allow you to listen to it again and share it with others. My name is Paul Sorokin, and I am the company's chief operating officer and general counsel. Before we get started, I'd like to take care of some of the legal requirements and read part of the future-looking statement. The full statement is on our disclosures. The forward-looking statement is that some of the information on this call may contain some forward-looking statements as defined by the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements include statements of words concerning our business plans, objectives, goals, strategies, future events and performance, underlying assumptions, and other statements that are other than statements of historical facts, which may include words like may, believe, estimate, anticipate, expect, and other similar words. These statements are subject to uncertainties and risk, and for a full list of the risks, please read the full disclosures posted online. Also, please remember, all investments come with risks and rewards that are related to your decisions to invest, and we recommend that you do your own due diligence, make your own decision based on your own opinions, and understand that the company cannot control what happens in the open market, especially a market like the OTC market. Now, with that said, I'd like to continue with some general company background information. Many of you already know who we are and what we do, but for those of you that don't, we have evolved into a full-service product development agency during the last few years. We like to compare what we're building to the Shark Tank meets the show The Profit, and we call it the Alliance Tank. We have been building a foundation with shared resources that we can leverage as we grow to start, acquire, or invest in products, companies, or services that we feel can add value to our future bottom line and for our shareholders. Currently, in the main areas that we focus on are in the product development world, or more specifically, the CPG world, which is the consumer products goods space. We like to say, if it's on a shelf or a hook, give us a look. So think of it this way. When you walk up and down an aisle of a store, picture all the products that are on a shelf or a hook. There are things in boxes and bags, clamshells, blister packs, etc. Now picture the overall process of what's involved to create, market, sell, distribute, and grow a product like that. We help some of our clients create products, including their printing and packaging, help with their fulfillment, their warehousing, transportation, and marketing. Our overall goal is to build long-term relationships with our clients and our vendors and to grow the overall company over time. So I hope that helps everyone better understand who we are and what we do. Now let me jump into the financials, and then I'll go over some future plans and answer all the questions people have been emailing us about. Excuse me. I'll start with the most recent quarter that ended December 31st, 2017. It's our fourth quarter, 2017. The revenue for the fourth quarter was $4,503,127. The gross profits were $853,574. The net incomes were $136,594. The total assets were $6,431,666. The total outstanding common shares as of December 31st, 2017 were 1,787,489,062, with 1,657,168,087 shares in the float. So, how does that compare to the fourth quarter last year? Well, the revenues for this year, fourth quarter, I told you was about $4.5 million. Last year, $3,356,801. So that means that we increased $1,146,326, or 34% increase in the quarter alone. The gross profits went down a little bit from $853,000 to a little over $1 million. There was a decrease of a couple hundred thousand in the gross profits. But the net income, the most important number, was up and was $136,574 this quarter. Last year, this quarter, we lost $200,000. So that's an increase of $336,895 in just the quarter alone. And then the balance sheet, as far as the total assets on the books, they increased $509,928, or 8.6%, from about $5.9 million to $6.4 million. So what does that mean for the entire year? So the 2017 financials, for the full year, the revenues were $18,322,208, which compares to last year was $11,274,185. So that's an increase of over $7 million and 62.5% increase in revenue from 2016 to 2017. The gross profit increased $731,965, or 25% increase. And the net income went up $930,142. So almost $1 million increase in net income from 2016 to 2017. Now, like some of you already know, a lot of the losses from last year were due to a lot of the startup costs with our new trucking companies, some inventory adjustments, some bad debt, you know, and those were a lot of one-time expenses. So now this year, we go back to some normal day-to-day business and growing and executing on the business plans that we've been working on. And you can see we've turned the corner and we're making a good profit. So to summarize the financial side of the annuals, 2017, the revenues were up big. We increased over $7 million and 62.5% increase. The gross profit was up $732,000, almost in 25%. And the net income was up over $930,000, almost $1 million for a turnaround in only 1 year. Then the convertible debt. Convertible debt went down from about $537,000 to only $90,000. So that's 83% of the convertible debt was eliminated in 1 year. As of the call today and as of the end of the quarter, which will be in a few days, March 31st, 2018, the convertible debt is down to $50,000. Our goal is to be at or near zero by June 30th, at the end of the second quarter. We were hoping that the first quarter was going to be down to zero, but unfortunately the stock was not trading as high as we wanted it to. So we were able to negotiate and convince the debt holders to wait longer so we could issue less shares at a higher price. It's a very big positive for the shareholders. It pushes things back a little bit, but in a good way. So we're hoping to be down to zero convertible debt by the end of the second quarter, which would be June 30th. So other key financial notes, just to understand, our accounts receivable end of the year about $1.8 million, which is up a little bit from about $1.7 million. Our inventory was a little over $1.5 million, up about $100,000 from about $1.4 million last year. The liability side was up to about $2 million versus like $1.8 million last year. The old bank line of credit with U.S. Bank, which we no longer with currently, but as of 12/31 was about $888,000 at the end of the year. And like I said, the long-term convertible note debt was down to $90,000 from about $540,000 last year. So to put that kind of in the big picture too, in 2015, we eliminated about $300,000 debt. In 2016, we eliminated about $450,000 debt. And now, obviously, another $450,000. So in the last few years, we've reduced over $1 million of debt. We're down to $90,000 at the end of the year, down to $50,000 at the end of this quarter, and hope to be at zero convertible debt by the end of next quarter. So the other thing is that, obviously, just in the big picture, our sales revenue have grown, the profits have grown, we've reduced the debt, and our total assets on the books are about $6.4 million now. So I hope that gives you a better overall understanding of our company and our financials. Now, one of the more important reasons that we have this conference call is to answer shareholder questions and to give updates on the current projects and share more about our future plans and vision. So we've asked everyone to email us their questions, and now we're going to answer all of them one at a time in no particular order. I believe there's a dozen groups that it kind of fell into. Obviously, a lot of people ask similar questions, so we kind of group them together. With that said, the first question I will answer is a combination of questions about our convertible debt and why we have to issue any shares. And so keep in mind, you know, we have disclosed our convertible debt in every report that we have ever issued. And we have updated the remaining balance and discussed our plans every year, and we have stuck to our plans. Our plans have always been to try to find a balance between paying back our note holders, which were owed the money after 1 year, and some of them have waited almost 10 years now because we started in 2008, while trying not to over-dilute too quickly to hurt the stock too much. I know no one ever wants any stock issued, and I get it, but you know, we obviously legally, these shareholders could have converted significantly more stock and hurt the stock stake significantly more. So it's always a tricky balance because everyone wants the stock to go up, especially the company. And, you know, we want to issue the least amount of shares possible, but the debt holders did agree that they were going to wait 1 year until they got their money back. And a lot of these are 5, 6, 7 years, even up to 10 years, and there's been ongoing negotiations. Now, some of them are friendly, some not so friendly. Many of you know Golden State sued us for not issuing enough shares fast enough. And we eventually had to settle after being in court for a while. And now they are completely out of our lives. And, you know, this is and has been an ongoing balancing act. And we are happy to say that we are almost done with convertible debt. We're down to 50,000 as of today. Hope to be, you know, at zero convertible debt in the next, you know, 90 days at the end of this quarter. On a side note, many of you have asked, why not issue all of it at one time and just get it over with? Well, ideally, that sounds great, and on paper, we would love to if we could, but there are two major reasons why we've not been able to do that. First is because legally, the debt holders can only own 9.99% of the stock at any one time, and we just don't have enough, they wouldn't have enough to be paid back if we do that. So you could, number one, do that. Number two is, if we really were able to issue that many shares at any one time, there would be so much pressure on the stock that it could go to zero and force us to do a reverse. And, you know, that's something that we don't want to do and we did not want to do. And that's why we've had ongoing negotiations to find the best balance. And there's no perfect way because obviously you have obligations to multiple parties, but we have tried to do the best balancing act we can. And I know sometimes people think we issued too many shares, but consider the alternative. We legally could have issued 10 times more shares. Our debt holders could have pressured us to issue them shares 10 times faster than we did. And imagine what would happen at that point. So as much as people like or dislike how we've handled it, it is the best scenario that we probably currently could be dealing with from a legal and a business aspect. Second question is related to PeopleVine. A lot of people seem to be very confused about PeopleVine and the spinoff and the value and the benefits and so on and so forth. So first, let me be really clear on one big concern. No one from ACG, myself, Steve, or any other employee or member of management or anyone affiliated or related has received anything or will receive anything of a direct additional benefit or payment from this spinoff. And I know a lot of people like to spread rumors, but that is why we highly encourage everyone to read all the disclosures, do their own due diligence to better understand exactly what has actually happened and what was completed and why. So that means I want to remind people that when ACG bought the assets of PeopleVine and set up a new internal company and division, the two original founders were still equity partners in PeopleVine, even though ACG owned PeopleVine at that point. Then when PeopleVine spun off and acquired Tribe and the assets of Tribe, there were four additional parties from Tribe that received a portion of the shares. None of those shareholders were part of ACG or PeopleVine before. So ACG is currently one of seven shareholders in PeopleVine, one of the two board of directors, and at the last valuation based on the most recent exchange, there was a total of 10,062,500 vested shares, and the current value of the last transaction was 50 cents on the private company. So that means that this valuation is based on the last funding and the last valuation put on the shares. Now, so that means with the seven current shareholders and ACG, the total is 10,062,500 vested shares. ACGX owns 3,364,375 shares, or 33.43% of the overall company, and at the 50 cents last valuation, that's about $1,682,187 of value from a $700,000 investment. Now, obviously, it's private and we still need to grow it and or sell it and to convert that into money. But the goal now is to find and sell some private equity shares to a strategic new investment group or of industry experts, and without having to issue more ACGX shares. We hope to grow the value of the overall company and still own a large portion that's worth more and more. And if and when we're able to grow the value of PeopleVine, we may sell some of the shares in the future as we create a profit and give a profit to ACG. It's still to be determined based on executing the business plans and bringing in new strategic partners and new investors in the tech world. But one way we're trying to do this is by working with companies like the Plug and Play Accelerator in Silicon Valley and being introduced to more relevant industry leaders. And moving forward, we're going to try to have three types of sales plans. We're doing the direct sales, the agency sales, and the partnership sales. So we believe that PeopleVine has a tremendous amount of potential and the technology is phenomenal. And we believe that most outside money that we can raise that will help us reduce the amount of shares that ACG would have had to issue, but give us the benefit of being part of that. And that's why we spun off into a private company. Now, the key for PeopleVine is we need to continue to bring on more clients. We need to increase the MRR, which is monthly recurring revenue rates, to even have these types of conversations, just make sure that we can hopefully have an opportunity to sell some shares in the future and grow and be able to pay more money back to ACGX and ACGX shareholders. So we will keep everyone updated on the progress of that, but that hopefully clarifies some of the PeopleVine situation. The third is the other questions related to trucking, primary trucking and rapid freight solutions. Now, we still believe the trucking industry has a lot of potential, but after a year and a half of really being in the day-to-day, we understand the challenges and the costs of a younger trucking company competing with the bigger ones and the more established ones. And so therefore, we are trying to finalize a partnership agreement with a bigger trucking company that has been around for a while, has significantly more trucks, drivers, trailers, and internal resources than we do. Currently, we've been hovering between 35, 40 drivers and 50 or so trailers. They're bigger than us, and this will allow us to stay in the industry and still own some trucks and have some drivers, but to basically merge our current clients and most of our trucks, trailers, and drivers under this new company. And this will save us a lot on insurance and other bigger expenses while improving the software, the safety and compliance, along with helping us handle the new ELD rules and recruiting more drivers and marketing the company. This will reduce our revenues under ACGX, but it's a positive because it will also reduce our expenses, reduce our liabilities. It'll be no more prepaid insurance, no more prepaid fuel. It should increase our profits, improve our cash flow, and free up a lot of time and money for us to focus more on other future opportunities to continue to diversify our revenue sources and find revenue-producing assets while still staying in the trucking industry. Then, next question. Our questions were kind of related on different questions related to what other opportunities are in the Alliance tank right now. So as everyone knows or should know or may know, our overall business plan is to leverage shared resources and look for potential opportunities to invest in, acquire, or partner with in different businesses. Once we finish this trucking deal and transition a lot of the resources that we're using now, that should give ACG a lot more time and money to evaluate more opportunities more aggressively. There are two main industries we are going to add to our list of existing industries we're already looking at that we're going to do a lot of research and evaluation in and see if there are any and all possible opportunities we can get involved with in these two industries. They are real estate and the blockchain technology. And so we're going to add that to, you know, the packaging and the other things that have good synergy with our product development ecosystem now. A lot of that it will figure out how we're going to structure as well. So maybe we can raise some separate money for real estate that won't cause as much dilution as well. So we're going to be strategizing of how and when to do the best things to help everyone. So when it comes to real estate, we do think that there are three main areas to work with experienced people that are already in the industry. And those main three are high-end flips, regular flips, and buy and rent properties. We're going to look into any and all real estate opportunities and see which make the most business sense and where the best opportunities are for us to test specifically, because the goal is to create more revenue producing assets and then leverage private, public, and bank money so we can really benefit everyone. And when it comes to the blockchain, so we all know the cryptocurrency world has gone through its ups and downs, and it is down more recently for multiple reasons, pending regulation and other stuff. However, we believe the underlying technology has a lot of potential. And keep in mind, although the news covers more of the exciting ICOs and the current price of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Ripple, or any of the other 1,500 coins, the blockchain and the cryptocurrency industry is mainly focused on creating safer, quicker, and less expensive ways to distribute, transfer, or exchange something of value in a digital form, digital information, between parties all over the world while maintaining a decentralized ledger. So we are going to evaluate all types of software companies that are working on ways to leverage the blockchain to improve the speed, safety, and fees to transact, track, and document anything in the blockchain, as well as any other potential opportunities. And of course, trying to see if there's anything we can do with Peoplevine on the blockchain as well. And this may also include mining operations, consulting, exchanges, ICOs, or other ways to get involved with cryptocurrency and the blockchain. And we will update the public as we find out or figure out and evaluate which things we will or won't do. But we are going to aggressively evaluate and discuss opportunities in real estate and blockchain technology. All right, next question. Another big and common question was related to audits and uplistings. Okay, this has obviously come up a lot from a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, and I totally understand it, and I appreciate everyone's opinions and concerns, and you know, people continue to ask, why haven't you gotten a PCOB audit? Why haven't you uplisted to a higher exchange? And we are not totally against this. You know, I want everyone to understand, we are not against doing it. However, the reasons why we haven't in the past and some of the most limiting factors have been the time and the cost to audit our size company. With the number of third-party inventory locations we have around the country, 7 of them, the convertible derivatives, an 18-year history, and the size of the company and the number of transactions, the challenges would require a lot of additional help and cost well over 6 figures to start, and we'd have to continue the audits and the reviews every quarter, every year. And again, ideally, we would like to be able to do this, but every time in the past, we've evaluated this to determine how we could do it and the benefit. It hasn't made business sense, mainly due to the lack of resources. However, with the potential changes with trucking and with the potential additional time and cash flows, we will spend more time reevaluating everything and letting people know if and when we decide to change anything. Like I said, we're not against it, and we clearly are a legitimate company that, you know, we just went through a bank audit to verify our customers, vendors, revenues, profits, bank transactions, everything. So we have nothing to hide. It's the 2 years of PCOB audits is significantly more costly and labor intensive than a bank audit. And keep in mind, you know, MB Financial just did this bank audit. So obviously they verified the revenues and the clients and the money going in and out of the bank account. So any of these rumors about people saying we're avoiding it because we're not this legitimate company is obviously completely ridiculous. A bank does not loan you $2 million if they can't follow the money and confirm that you're legitimate and they're protected. So that's not the issue. The issue is timing and money based on the complexity of our business. And we will seriously reevaluate this and let the public know when or if we make a decision. As for the uplisting question, that's tied to the 2 years of PCOBA audits. And it depends if you do a Form 10 or an S1 and what exchange. Do you want to stay in the OTC market? Do you want to go to other exchanges? And you know, that the creation of the 10Qs and the Ks and do all the proper SEC filings, which again, take a lot of time and money and are all tied together. You can't uplist without the audits, and you don't really benefit from the audits without an uplist. So again, we are not against either auditing and or uplisting. We just have to evaluate the current time and financial requirements to determine when and how it could or would make business sense. With that said, a lot of people still ask the question about the reverse split. As some of you may know, we have not done a reverse split in 8 years. The only reason we did it at that time was we were seller boxed in at 0001 by a bunch of shorters for a long time period back in 2010, almost about 8 years ago. And, you know, we have no plans or desires to do a reverse, and we're not even considering it currently. But keep in mind, with that said, if we decide to do an audit, if we decide to uplist to a higher exchange, there may be a need to trade at a higher price, and we may need to have that discussion, and there may be a possibility to reverse simultaneously with the moving to a higher exchange to trade at a higher price where maybe we're a dollar stock type of thing rather than this sub penny. Again, we have not made a decision on that. We are not looking to do any reverses, but if there was a scenario where it would even be considered, it would have to be tied to an audit and an uplisting to get away from the pink sheets. And that evaluation will be part of this potential audit evaluation, and we'll let the public know and everyone know. In the meantime, we have not confirmed or that we are going to do any audit or uplisting, and we are not reversing. We will keep everyone updated as we continue to evaluate that. We all have the same common long-term goal, and we want to get there eventually. The next is the dividend and buyback question comes up a lot all the time too. And I know that sounds like a good soundbite, and it sounds like an easy way to possibly increase the stock value. You pay a dividend or you do a buyback or something to that extent. However, you got to keep in mind, the main reason a company pays a dividend or does a buyback is because they have significantly more cash than they need on hand to run their business and to grow their business. And the value of the dividend or buyback is more than the cash would generate by sitting in a bank earning basically nothing, and or they have no other opportunities to spend that money to generate more revenue or profits. So in our specific situation, we've spent over $1 million in the last few years towards growing the business. And as you can see, it has grown substantially. And so we don't have a lot of extra cash that's not being used to hire people, carry inventory, carry receivables, acquire new resources or equipment, excuse me, that needed to execute our business plan. And since we can't do both, spend money on growth and spend money on a dividend or buyback, it just makes good business sense to continue growing the business. And then we'll review if and when we don't have the good business opportunities, and if there is extra money available, then maybe we can do that. And maybe with real estate, as we buy more revenue producing assets, that may be a situation where it may give us an opportunity to be able to pay a dividend, because if that asset is creating more money for us, it may be a different business model that may allow us to do that more often. All right, next questions were related to Golden State. A lot of people were confused or just had a lot of questions about Golden State as the debt holder. So some of you may know, Golden State was a debt holder of the trading vehicle prior to 2008 when we took over. And we had a number of issues with them over the years, because they always wanted to issue more shares faster than we wanted to. And in the past, we had been able to come to agreements and renegotiate deals multiple times. But unfortunately, the last time, a couple of years ago, they decided to sue us and bring us to court, and instead of dealing with us directly. And so in July of 2016, we were dealing with a legal issue with them. We have resolved that. We did settle that court case, and we settled all of their claims, or any and all of their claims. As part of that settlement, we were able to get to existing investors to purchase and exchange their debt for preferred equity shares in Alliance. And some of you may know that Golden State filed an incorrect 13G recently, which showed they still own a ton of stock at the end of the year, but later they corrected it, and they verified that they currently own zero shares of ACGX, and that we're very happy to be able to move forward from that situation. excuse me. So the next question was related to, what are your plans for future PR and social media stuff? So this comes up a lot too, obviously. We understand the value of sharing updates and progress reports with the public and our shareholders. And we will continue to update our social media, PR, and marketing as often as we can, or we see there are new things to discuss or things that we can update. But, you know, especially as we get involved in new projects. But some of the challenges people just have to understand in the past is a lot of our larger clients, make us sign non-disclosures or don't want us to talk about them and or their projects. And when you're involved in a legal lawsuit of any kind too, like we were with Golden State, you know, we can't comment on things like that publicly. So we know that, you know, we're still relatively unknown in the OTC pink sheet market is a relatively small market. And we do try to get the word out, and we ask everyone to share our posts and PRs as well. But you know, we have hired some small marketing companies. We have submitted posts on social media and press releases and been involved with some newsletters. You know, however, keep in mind, we're not a pump and dump, and we're not just going to issue a bunch of news and hire a bunch of people just to send out mass emails and do massive campaigns for no reason. If and when we have news, good or bad, that we need to share, we do. And we will get other professionals involved to help share that news as well, so we can reach a larger audience and let others learn about us and do their own due diligence. So we'd love everyone to learn about us, and we hope to reach more people in the future. And when and if we get involved in more projects, hopefully we have more to talk about and more updates to share more often. But we want to do it in a reasonable and responsible way to benefit everyone in the long term. So we are going to try, but it's got to be reasonable and it's got to be responsible. All right. Next thing is, what is the company going to do to help increase the share price? You know, we, of course, want our stock price to go up like most of you, except, of course, some the shorters and some of the paid bashers out there. But like I said, we're not your typical OTC stock that hires a ton of people to pump up the stock and then it comes crashing down. We're focusing on growing the business, sharing the information about our new projects and our new clients and new technology accomplishments, and educating the market on who we are and what we do and why we feel will be worth more in the future. We believe over time, this will be a better, more sustainable model for hopefully a higher stock price. All right, let's see. Next question is, can you explain how the third-party warehouses work and the relationships we have with some of our other vendors and manufacturing partners? Okay, so we understand that from a lot of questions from people that not everyone understands exactly how the product development side in the CPG world, the consumer product goods world works. Like many industries that have big and small companies, there are certain services companies provide directly, and there are certain products and services that companies help procure and or coordinate between multiple vendors or multiple locations. So in many cases, a product requires multiple types of raw materials and may require multiple services like designing and cutting and gluing and fulfilling and distributing and warehousing and transporting, marketing, so on and so forth. There are times where some or many of those services are accomplished more cost effectively by leveraging existing larger resources. So there are some very expensive machines out there that may not be worth it for a smaller company to own or buy themselves, but they can work out a deal with large manufacturers to help create certain parts of a product by working with, you know, a third party. So we currently work with hundreds of vendors, ranging from small mom and pop shops to multi-billion dollar companies. And we work with multiple third-party 3PL warehouses around the country as well. We don't own those third-party warehouses. We work with them to store and release our products as needed on a vendor-managed inventory basis, so we can maintain inventory in multiple cities for multiple clients. Now, there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of value in strategic partnerships that allow us to compete at a much higher level and produce higher quality products at fair prices without having to own all the equipment and all the warehouse space and everything. So with that said, every client and every product is a little bit different. And we evaluate the best use of our internal versus external resources and third-party strategic alliances to create the best end result for everyone. And many members of our team have been doing this for over 20 years. So the amount of experience and relationships that we have allowed us to really remain competitive and grow. Excuse me. All right. So what do you think 2018 and 2019 will look like? Well, I personally believe we have tremendous potential. We have a number of opportunities to evaluate. We need to obviously continue to evaluate potential audits and potential uplistings, which could be huge. I agree and understand. We need to evaluate the real estate and the blockchain technology opportunities. We need to continue to improve our internal processes and procedures to allow for future expandable business models. We need to complete this new trucking deal and then evaluate the results. And we currently believe it will be an exciting opportunity to improve the profits and cash flows while reducing the risk and the capital expenditures, and we'll know more soon. We are also almost done with the convertible debt. Obviously, in 2018, we will be down to zero. Let's see, we just started working with a new bank, which I think is a very positive new relationship. We're excited to see where that could lead. And we're going to continue to evaluate all the pros and cons of everything to help us build a more solid foundation to build off of. And like we said before, we've spent over $1 million in the last few years building this foundation. And now we're at a point where we are reducing and controlling our outgoing expenses that were required to get us here. And now we are increasing our revenues and profits, adding new clients, and executing a new business plan. So I'm very happy and very proud of what we have been able to do as a team at its core and the foundation we've built. And with that said, I am very positive and very excited about the future. But of course, there are always a lot of unknowns, and there's a lot of things that will be contingent upon other things. And we will continue to try to find the perfect balance between the risks that we take and the rewards that we get. And we're going to try some new things while still maintaining and growing the existing things. And we will try to update people more and more as we expand or get involved in new things. So let's see. Okay, so that kind of wraps up the questions. Let me kind of tie this all together. Let me kind of a conclusion tie it up, and I'll reiterate some of the more important comments in general. So when you hang up today, here are some of the takeaways that I'd like you to have with you. One, just understand who we are. We're a 20-year-old company that is a full-service product development agency where we like to compare ourselves to building like the Shark Tank meets The Profit, where we are building a foundation with shared resources that we can leverage as we grow to start, acquire, or invest in products, companies, or services that we feel can add value to our future bottom line and for our shareholders. And for almost 20 years, we've worked with some world-class brands. We've connected their products and services to their customers through seamless online and offline experiences. And together, we feel we have built something very special and very unique, especially for the OTC markets. And we will continue to be even more aggressive this year about trying to get to the next level and create more value for our investors, shareholders, clients, and employees. And the best way for shareholders to help is to introduce us to new potential clients or opportunities, share the updates, and help us build more support, for the stock. To reiterate, the best part of this conference call was our financials. We were very excited about our financials. To be able to increase revenues over 62% in a year, over $7 million increase to get above $18 million was a huge accomplishment. It's a record year for us. We're very excited about that. The gross profits being over $3.6 million, it was another record. The net income going up $900,000 a year, being $584,000 was huge. So record revenues in 2017 over $18 million, record gross profit over $3.7 million. The revenues were up 62.5% compared to 2016. Convertible debt was reduced by $450,000 in 2017 alone, which is 83% reduction in 2017 alone. The total company balance sheet assets are now over $6.4 million. The new trucking partnership should be finalized soon. And the new areas we're going to evaluate include the real estate and the blockchain technology, which we think have huge potential upside. So we believe we are positioned very, very well to be able to continue and improve. We're very excited about the future. Please remember that all investments come with risks and rewards, and we still encourage you to do more due diligence and make your own decisions. We appreciate your time today, your overall support, and we hope that this has been informative and we've answered all your questions. We'll be posting this recording today on our website, and we'll be emailing it out and on social media. Please share it with others. If you have any additional questions, please email us at info@acgemail.com so we could continue to answer other questions and future disclosures. And a special thanks to many loyal and long-term shareholders, especially those that have tried to bring us leads and potential business opportunities like Colorado Steve. So thank you very much and have a great day. Goodbye.